We're opening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Services, and it's Wednesday, June 20th. This is preliminary work session on Senate Bill 5527, the Department of Human Services, the Health Division. I am shortly going to turn the gavel over to Representative Schrader. Just wanted to make a couple of notes in addition to what we're doing here today before we're completed with this budget. We have House Bill 3953 that will impact this budget, and we also have a dash four amendment to 5527 that we will deal with later. But we're going to go through so that we can get to current service level like we've done with the other budgets, so that by the time we get through to the end of this process, we will be able to move a little rapidly in getting our work completed. In addition, I know that Mr. Olson has probably for you budget notes, and we will do like we did before. If there are any conceptual ones, we will go ahead and put them in during this process. So again, by the time we get to DHS's total budget, we will be really ready to go into the full work session and get the other line items that we want to get accomplished in these budgets. So with that, it's going to be a nice sunny day today. I understand from the weather man, no rain. And the chronological group to my right is feeling very, very, very chipper.
Oh, absolutely.
And I have all but one member here present on my left. So I am going to turn the gavel over to Representative Schrader.
Well, I'm sure once we get in there, who could care less? Rain.
And I will be back in about 15 minutes.
But you would not turn on the majority.
Open the hearing. Work session. Open the work session.
Whatever you need.
Whatever. Good money.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, we have, as Representative Winters stated, the Health Division budget before you this morning. What I've distributed to you is a memo. It's quite a lengthy memo. There's a lot of packages that we need to go through. And then I've also attached spreadsheets. The Health Division is divided into six centers, and this budget is broken down into those six centers. My recommendation is this morning is that we go through the agency-wide current service level first, and then after that we'll move to each of the centers and the policy option packages related to each of those centers. Governor's recommended budget, excluding the non-limited funds, is $218,653,422. Total funds, it's a 3.4% increase over the 9901 estimated expenditures and a 2.4% increase over the current service level estimate. The current service level recommendation by Legislative Fiscal Office adjusts for the FERS rate, the Attorney General's rate reductions, the telecommunications long distance rate reductions, the government service charges, and then there are a few other adjustments to the current service level. Those include phase out and phase in of federal grants, an adjustment to the prorate charged by the director's office. There is an anticipated reduction in the tobacco tax revenue of $257,000. There's other technical adjustments from the reshoot of the governor's recommended budget, a reduction in the revenue of the immunization program, a prorate adjustment for the transfer of forecasting positions from SDSD and OMAP to the director's office, the elimination of some excess limitations due to some changes in accounting procedures, and then finally the adjustments in service and supplies that weren't made in the governor's recommended budget for some new rates. So LFO recommends that the committee approve a current service level budget as adjusted of $31,160,142 general fund, $55,215,798 other funds, and $127,221,939 federal funds and 478.05 FTE.
I move the LFO recommendation, Mr. Chair.
You, Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm just trying to line up these numbers. Okay, where, first of all, are you finding the governor's recommended budget at 218? So that's non-limited?
Yes, if, Mr. Chair and,
no,
and Senator Carlson, if you take the total funds and subtract out the non-limited.
Okay. And then the number on the LFO recommendation at the bottom of the memo is where on the spreadsheet, or is it in this other part?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, the LFO recommendation for the current service level is just to the left of the governor's recommended column.
So I see 318,147.
Again, if you subtract out the non-limited,
okay,
it'll get the current service level.
And so on the memo it says 31. Should that be 31? What should be the number after the one?
On the memo?
Yeah.
31,160,142.
Right.
Is the top line there general fund amount for the current?
Oh, okay, I see. And so the total funds is?
Again, this summary sheet does not show the total without the non-limited.
Then I guess I will take it on faith. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions or concerns? Are there any objections to the current service level for the Health Division? If not, so approved.
Mr. Chair, next, I'd like to take you through each of the centers. Each of the individual center spreadsheets are stapled together as a center, and so hopefully that'll make it easier for you to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Having approved the current service level budget as the agency in total, we move to page 4 of 6 for the Center for Disease Prevention Epidemiology. You'll see the name of the center up in the upper left-hand corner of the spreadsheet. Package 090 program adjustments in this particular center eliminates the Child Psychiatry Review Team and provides federal fund limitation for the Emerging Infections Grant Program. There is also adjustments made for the Attorney General rate and the PERS rate. The LFO recommends you approve the package at a reduction of $653,661 general fund and 2.86 FTE, and an increase of $686,340 federal fund.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I have, and I'm sure we had this at some point, and I just sort of forgotten. By eliminating that, the Child Fatality Review Team, what are we doing? I just, is that being encompassed someplace else, or? And I just don't remember.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Duncan, that's part of the state technical assistance team, and the department has, the division has a statewide Child Fatality Review Team that was eliminated in the governor's recommended budget. 35 counties also have a Child Fatality Review Team.
So it's taken care of. I mean,
it's the counties. I guess the assumption can be made that the counties will maintain those Child Fatality Review Teams, but the statewide coordination at the state level will be eliminated.
I'd be curious, Mr. Chair, to hear the reaction of Representative Bates on that.
It's, you know, this is a budget we're looking at that's got a $700 million hole in it.
Right.
We're going to have to say no to some programs. And is this a worthwhile program? Yes. Is it absolutely vital? I'd probably have to say it's not absolutely vital. But it's something that allows us, when we have that information, to direct our emergency services and other programs in a better fashion. It makes us a little more efficient in doing that. But it's a cut, and let's not kid ourselves, it's a cut. We'll have some information from the counties yet, but it won't be as I don't think as good as what we're getting. and maybe something we want to put back someday. But I have to take an honest look at these things and say, there's other programs that give direct help to these kids. And I'd rather, if I have to take it out, I'd rather take it out here at the other end. So my answer is, we've got to say no sometimes, and we're going to have to say no here.
Mr. Chair, I guess, well, my concern is, are we becoming the part of maybe some child dying because we've done this? That's what I'm, or is it just, actually you're reviewing afterwards?
Right. At the county level, they're still be dealing with that. Okay. So they will be able to track that. The statewide coordination is what, unfortunately, we will not be able to do at this point.
I move the LFO recommendation.
Right there. Any other questions on that? I guess I need a motion.
I just did.
Pardon me. Any other thoughts? Any objections? So approved. Reluctantly.
Mm-hmm. Next is package 114. This package changes two contracted positions to permanent status. The package shifts funding from services and supplies to personal services. There is no net increase to this package. There was an adjustment made for the PERS rate reduction. So LFO recommends approval of the package.
Mr. Chair, do you want to take each package as, do you want to do it in block?
I'd rather do each package because there's a lot in this division. And we had a lot of discussion on it. So as long as we're moving like we are, I think we're getting through.
Mr. Chair, I'd move package 114 as outlined by LFO.
Any discussion? Any objection? I'm sorry, Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Usually contracted positions are more flexible and safe from hiring permanent positions. So if the need isn't there, then we don't need to keep the FTEs. So is there, do we gain any efficiency by hiring permanent positions instead of having contractors? So
you,
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, these are positions that have been employed on a regular basis for an extended period of time. And with contracted positions, you have a higher rate of turnover. You have to go through the process of training those individuals again, and there's actually some loss in efficiency by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
These people, these positions are regular positions. They're there all the time, and I suspect that the agency believes that they'll gain some efficiencies by having permanent staff there that will be trained once and then retained for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm. So you basically are changing from temporary to permanent
positions.
Not contract.
I think it's probably definitional. My understanding, Senator, is that these people have been there and they're staying there. This is not a part-time type of job anymore, especially some of the recent legislation we've passed, I think. It kind of makes sense. Senator Duncan?
Well, Mr. Chair, in a sense, it's not really fair either to the individuals. I mean, if my interpretation of a contract position is when you contract out.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a person with a desk and that person is sitting side by side, that person is an employee and is deserving of the benefits to go with the position. And so you're really playing games. I mean, it's to your advantage in a sense to the state, but in the long run, I think to keep people and to get them in the retirement system, all that, this is the proper way to do it. I think it's inappropriate use of contracted people when you just keep them on that way and house them within your unit.
Good enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. Approved.
Package 117 changes limited duration positions to permanent. This package is for eight limited duration positions approved during the 1999-01 biennium. 6.5 FTE. They're for various grants. LFO recommending that you approve $188,466 and $637,627 federal funds and reestablish the positions as limited duration positions to continue the functions of the and purposes of these grants.
Move LFO recommendation.
Thank you, Senator.
So when the grants run out, those positions go away.
Okay. Any objection? Approved.
Package 118, position correction reclassification. This reclassifies two positions to more accurately fit the current duties and responsibilities, and it also corrects the funding source. There's a net impact of $0. It just moves the funding source through these positions, and LFO would recommend approval of the package.
This is my kind of bill. I recommend approval.
Discussion? Any objection? Approved.
Package 119 is the tobacco settlement distribution dollars. This provides for the distribution for the master tobacco settlement fund. The governor's recommended budget had $7 million distributed. The co-chairs in their budget have included $5 million. So the LFO recommendation would be to approve the package at $5 million, other funds, per the co-chair's budget.
Chairman, move approval.
Thank you, Senator Hertung. Any discussion? So approved.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Yee.
What was it in the governor's
Seven.
Package 3001 is the LFO and co-chairs adjustment. This package you'll be seeing through each of the centers as we go through. This reduces out-of-state travel. LFO recommends approval of a reduction of $346 general fund, $673 other funds, $2,903 federal fund.
Representative Bates moves that we approve package 3001. Any discussion? Any objection?
4,001.
And then finally, package 4001 is reshoot adjustments. This adds federal fund limitation for the electronic lab capacity grant that they were recently awarded, and LFO is recommending the package at $200,290 federal funds.
And I really am going to move the 4,000 package, Mr. Chair. 4,001 package is out with the LFO.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection? So approved.
I move the LFO recommendation on package 090.
Different center.
Yeah, this is the Center for Public Health Laboratories, and package 090, it just simply makes some administrative reductions. Recommend approval of the package. The reduction of $650.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
Senator Duncan moves package 090. Any discussion? Any objection?
Package 3002, again, is the reduction for out-of-state travel, and LFO recommends approval. A reduction of $97 general fund, 383 other funds, and 466 federal funds.
Move package 3002.
Thank you, Senator Duncan. And any discussion? Any objection?
I like saving money while Hartung is spending it over here.
Only $97.
That's Duncan. He thinks it's saving me money. He doesn't understand.
Package 4002, again, is a this package provides limitation positions for two federal grants, the Electronic Lab Capacity Grant and the Universal Newborn Screening Grant. These grants are for 5 years and 4 years, respectively. LFO is recommending approval of a package of $498,728 federal funds for the establishment of 3.0 FTE.
Representative Carlson moves the approval of package 4002. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
We'll move now to the Center for Environment and Health Systems. package 090, in the governor's recommended budget, it reduced general fund by $1,152,981 for the Safe Drinking Water Program. And the intent was to replace those funds with other funds from the Economic and Community Development Department. As a result of budget negotiations and actions this session, those other funds have not materialized. are the co-chairs of authorized the restoration of the general fund. The package also provides federal funding for the this center's portion of the emerging infections program, including one FTE, again, that was approved at the November 2000 Emergency Board. The LFO recommendation is that you approve the package at $1,152,981 general fund and $166,924 federal fund and 1.0 FTE.
Move package 090.
Thank you, Senator Duncan. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Package 132, the food inspection program. This package is dependent upon passage of House Bill 2256, which, by the way, is on the agenda for this committee to hear after 9 o'clock this morning. This bill would raise the fees charged by the health divisions to conduct inspections of food establishments in 12 rural counties throughout Oregon. LFO is recommending approval of the package at $262,947 other funds and requests the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule those funds until the passage of and the adoption of House Bill 2256 in its final form.
Mr. Chairman, move adoption of package 132.
Thank you, Senator Hartung. Any discussion? Any objection?
Package 133 is the pool and spa program. This package, again, is dependent upon passage of the bill, House Bill 2242. The bill raises fees for the inspection of pools and spas in 12 counties. The LFO recommendation is that this package not be approved. It appears the bill is not likely to go through. If for some reason the bill should pass and signed by the governor, the health division could return to the emergency board for limitation, but it doesn't appear that that's going to happen at this point.
Senator Yee moves that we not adopt the package. Appreciate that, Senator. Any discussion? Any objection?
Package 135, this bill is dependent upon House Bill 2241, which has passed both chambers and has been signed by the governor. The bill establishes mandatory licensure of outpatient dialysis facilities. LFO is recommending approval of the package at $83,425 other funds and the establishment of a 0.38 FTE. If you'll notice in the spreadsheets that this is a reduction from the governor's recommended budget. The governor's recommended budget had this funding for a full biennium. The bill actually will not take effect until January 1st, 2002. So it's for three quarters of a biennium and thus the reduction in the LFO recommendation.
I'll move the LFO recommendation, but I would not have gone 0.01% over 0.38.
A fiscal conservative, Senator Duncan again. Any further discussion? Objection?
Discussion?
Yes, sir. Excuse me, sir.
Rick, I don't remember the discussion on this. Do we have a large number of outpatient dialysis facilities in the state?
Yes, we do.
We do.
I can't give the exact numbers, but it's sort of how you say them. I mean, some of the dialysis centers are considered outpatient, but they're actually inside physically in the hospital, but they're run as outpatient centers.
That was my question. Yeah. What about Good Samaritan in Portland?
I wouldn't know exactly there, but I know my local hospitals. Okay. The dialysis centers are separate from the hospital, but rent space from the hospital and function that as an outpatient center. And they're usually run by physicians who sometimes own, sometimes do not own the dialysis centers.
Okay.
It's an efficient way to do it, and it's a good process. It works well. But I could not tell you about Good Samaritan specifically. I'm sorry.
So those outpatient clinics and hospitals, like I surely are.
Thank you, Representative Bates. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Objection?
I would think
back in 138, this package moves one position from administration. You'll see in a few moments when they get to the administrative center that they have a like reduction of the same amount. this position is currently functioning in this center, and LFO recommends the package be approved at $74,142 other funds and 1.0.
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Yee. Any discussion?
I move this, move package 138.
I think Senator Yee already
zipped
in there, but thank you. Any objection? So ordered.
Package 303, again, reduces out-of-state travel. LFO recommends approval of a reduction of $329 general fund, $711 other fund, and $855 federal fund.
I move package 3003.
This is not going to get a little competition here now. any discussion? Any objection?
No, cut off $329.
No order.
We're unfairly
to his understanding.
This package adjusts the funding source due to the Attorney General's position regarding the use of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund. LFO is recommending approval of the package at $891,450 general fund and a reduction of the like amount in other funds.
And
that's a pretty good offer.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chair, I move package 4003.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any discussion? Objection?
Rick, the reduction of 891 of the other funds, was that all federal funds, or what kind of funds was that?
Those were funds that came from the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund.
Okay.
And the Attorney General's opinion said that those funds cannot be used for these purposes any longer, and so we need to fill that with general funds.
Do we have at the DMV or wherever that motor vehicle accident fund is, have we spent that 891 already someplace else?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, I'm not sure.
I'm Tom Harton.
They do look a little all right.
Can we get 3 hours sleep last night?
Hey, think that's just the first time today.
That's an
intolerable mistake.
Uh-oh, I don't like that.
I know. We look the same.
Senator Harton.
Okay, yes.
I'm not sure how that is being spent.
Okay.
We can find out.
Yeah, I would like to know that.
Well, here's Doug.
Did you finish 403?
Yeah, we did not have 403.
Hearing no objection, 403.
Pass.
I think you have a question.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, was there a question? Sorry.
Well, yeah, and Rick's going to get me the information.
And you're Senator Duncan again, is that correct?
Right, I have an answer for him. He needs help. So.
I don't want
and
to
myself.
Know, I don't want to know the big speaker.
Senator, I left you a note there.
Yeah, thank you.
35.
I'll help you with the big words.
Yes, help me read the lettering.
Yeah,
I made
help me with
small.
The spelling. The doc wrote this.
You want me to read it out loud? I would, but I can't read my handwriting either, so my nurse isn't here. I don't know what I said and wrote. You know,
I'm a teacher. I can read anything.
Right. In a moment here, we're going to move forward, I believe. Olson, do you want to continue?
We'll have to go in recess until we get a quorum back. We're lacking a member on the House side.
That's three.
Okay. Oh, there she is.
There she is.
Is this the universal assessment?
I lost a quorum. Sorry about that. It's okay. Didn't get much done while you were doing it. 215 is a constitutional issue. We fought your bill. No quorum.
Let's go. Where were you?
Let's roll.
Nine.
Starting Center for Child and Family Health on page 3.
Okay.
we're on package 090?
Yes. Madam Chair, we're ready to start the Center for Child and Family Health, package 090. Again, for the co-chair's budget, this package restores the school-based health clinics that were eliminated in the governor's recommended budget. This package also eliminates the perinatal project with OHSU, and it also shifts funding from the Home Visiting Services to the Commission on Children and Families. The LFO recommendation is that you approve the package at a reduction of $1,875,046 general fund,
excuse me, this morning,
an increase of $148,860 other funds, but request the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the other funds until resolution of the Oregon Children's Plan issue. If you notice on the worksheet, the governor's recommended budget reduced the general fund by $4.4 million. And with the restoration of the school-based health clinics at $2.5 million, that leaves a net reduction of the $1,875,046. So that's how that number was reached.
I move adoption package 090.
Senator Duncan moves the adoption of package 090. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
No
objection. Oh, Cross.
I know we're not at budget notes yet, but Representative Bates and I have had some discussions about the health centers pursuing billing of insurance for some of their fees, maybe looking at that up in the next interim. So just want to put that on the record.
And I would, Madam Chair, I also note that I have talked to several centers about there are some centers are not very anxious to try that kind of a process, but I think it's something they should at least bring forward and discuss. I also talked to a couple of people who do the billings for insurances, and they're quite willing to do this. So we have to bring these two parties together during the interim. I think we can pick up some money towards these programs, not a lot, but some, but it'll ease the budget load on them.
Thank you. So noted, I know that Mr. Olson is writing. Package 147.
Package 147 reestablishes limited duration positions for grants, projects, and programs. These positions have been previously approved as limited duration positions for the Robert Wood Johnson Grant, the Family Planning Expansion Project, the Immunization Program, and the WIC Program. LFO recommends the package of $126,917 federal funds and $427,148 federal funds and reestablish the positions as limited duration.
Representative Schrader.
So move.
Representative Schrader moves that we adopt the LFO's recommendation and approve the package at for limited duration positions at $126,917 other funds and $427,148 federal funds and reestablish the positions as limited duration. Is there any objection? Senator Yee.
Madam Chair, they are limited duration now, so why do you call them reestablished?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, at the end of each biennium, any limited duration positions are abolished, just as by the definition of limited duration. Also, they have to be reestablished as either permanent or limited duration positions.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. So ordered. Package 148.
Package 148 corrects five positions that need to be reclassified to better fit the duties and responsibilities. These are all federally funded positions, and LFO recommends approval of the package of $29,332 federal funds.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Schrader moves we approve the LFO recommendation of package 148 at $29,332 federal funds. Is there any objection? Hearing none, approved.
Package 142, the Alert Immunization Registry. This package was not part of the governor's recommended budget because a funding source had not been identified. Since that time, private funding has come forward to the amount of $700,000, which will then be used to match federal funds for a total amount of $1.4 million. LFO is recommending approval of the package at $1.4 million other funds and the establishment of two FTE limited duration positions.
To move package 142.
Representative Schrader moves that we approve package 142 at $1,400,000 other funds and two FTE limited duration positions. Is there any objection?
No objection, but I have a question, Madam Chair.
Representative Schrader.
This is an absolutely vital program. It allows kids, no matter where they are in the state, for us to tap in and find out exactly what their immunization schedule is. And when you're looking at 20 or 30 different immunizations, then you know what to give that child that spot and time in their life. Where do the private funds come from, this Rick? You know, I don't want to see this program die. I mean, it's really a vital program. Looking at this from this view, it doesn't look like it, but immunizations are the most effective thing we do in public health to protect the health of our population.
Doug?
Madam Chair, Doug Wilson, Administrator of the Office of Finance and Policy Analysis. The funds are from OSIC, the Consortium of Health Providers that also operate within this realm, so they're private funds that they are putting forward to match the federal funds.
Is that a fairly secure source for the future?
2-year source.
And that's it. So we got to look at this again in 2 years.
Right, and we will continue to seek, Madam Chair, Representative Bates, funds from any source we can. Because this was originally funded through grant funds, if my recollection is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any objection?
Yep.
Approved. Package 3004.
Package 2004 is the out-of-state travel reductions. LFO recommends approve the reduction of $196 to no
fund. I move the
104 other funds to the
I move LFO recommendation.
Senator Duncan moves LFO's recommendation that approves the reduction of $196 general fund and $604 other fund and $1,648 federal fund. Is there any objection? It's approved. Package 4004.
These are the reshoot adjustments. This package adds funding for the following grants: the seniors farmers market, pregnancy risk assessment monitoring, and the universal newborn screening.
Mm-hmm.
These grants have been approved and have been awarded to the division. LFO is recommending approval of the package at $1,799,341 federal funds and approve the positions as limited duration. In addition to that, LFO would also recommend that an adjustment be made in between personal services and services and supplies in the amount of $38,557, although it's just switching those funds between those two sources. The net effect is zero for a correction to the authorized positions at the November e-board. They were simply classified in the system wrong, so I would also make a modification to that recommendation.
So move package 4004.
Representative Schrader moves package 4004, the reshoot adjustments. This package adds funding for the following federal grants: senior farmers market at $1,300,000 federal funds, pregnancy risk assessment monitoring $275,601 FTE, and the universal newborn hearing screening at $223,741 and 0.50 FTE, and adjust personal services in phase-in package 020 by $38,557 federal funds, and decreases service and supplies by $38,557, net limitation zero for correction to legislative authority positions, authorized positions at November 2000 e-board. Senator Yee?
I have a question for Mr. Olson. Are there any general funds that go with these three items?
Madam Chair, so you know there's not. These are completely federal funded. So.
Is there any objection? Approved.
We'll move to the Office of the Administrator now. Package 090, Program Adjustment. This provides funding for the Minority Health Database in the amount of $500,000 general funds. It also reduces funding for some department-wide support services, a reduction of $32,757 general funds. So the LFO recommendation is to approve the package at the net $467,343 general funds.
I'd like to move package 090 with the program adjustments from the Office of the Administrator, please.
Representative Schrader moves package 090, program adjustments for the Office of the Administrator, the package at $467,343 general fund. Is there any objection? Approved.
Package 168 is the companion part of the earlier package that was approved, moving a position to the Center for Environment and Health Systems. Also recommend this package be approved as a reduction of $74,142 and a reduction of one FTE.
Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move package 168.
Moves package 168 as a reduction of $74,142 and one FTE. Is there any objection? Approved.
Package 3006 is the reduction for out-of-state travel. LFO recommends you approve the package at a reduction of $292 out of funds.
Madam Chair, I move package 306, the LFO recommendation.
Senator Duncan, moves package 306.
I'm just slashing budgets like me.
As a reduction of $292 of other funds. Is there any objection? Approved.
That's big money, sir.
It was
good count. Representative
Schrader. As we get into the cross-agency special programs, I'd like to have a quick discussion, if that's acceptable, regarding the safety net clinics. A lot of that is done through OMAP, as we know, but there are other uninsured people that are being covered by a lot of the counties and their public health facilities, and wondered how they were going to be faring this budget cycle. And we had some discussion about the FQHCs and those that, you know, are taking the Medicaid clients versus the uninsured population. And I just want to make sure that I have an understanding, maybe the committee understands more than I, about where we stand with all that.
Representative
Doug Upper.
And the representative also has some questions.
Yeah, I want to add tag on to this, and then when you get done with this,
Doug.
Madam Chair, representative, or members of the committee, there is no funding directly for safety net clinics in the budget. Safety net clinics, if they have Medicaid clients, will bill us, and we pay them through the Oregon Health Plan. Recent federal changes have increased the reimbursement rates for federally qualified health centers, and substantially increased them in some cases. In fact, we had to bring a new issue to the co-chairs here in the past few days because federal interpretation of that much different from they had led us to believe. And in the reshoot, we put, about $6 million in for the last 12 months of the biennium, 0103 biennium, that would go directly through reimbursements to the federally qualified health centers. And in fact, we brought another $9 million general fund issue, unfortunately, to you very early this week around that issue. So there are increases. Will it cover all the problems? Probably not, because this is a group of clinics that serve a very vulnerable set of clients, all of which are not all of which are eligible for the health plan. But those reimbursements should help them with their cash flow. It's part of the
Representative Schrader.
Just a question, if I may, for Doug. For those, I mean, that works great if it's a Medicaid population. If it's a non-Medicaid population, do the counties have authority to, you know, move these dollars around a little bit and use them to best advantage so that some of the uninsured can also be covered? They're walking in the clinic sometimes with a high proportion of who they serve.
Whoever the chair is and Representative Schrader, I mean, they bill for the Medicaid clients, but in the past, many of those clinics have used those funds to spread across for their cash flow and operations totally. I'm not an expert in terms of clinic finances. It should help the problem. It doesn't completely solve the problem, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair. Representative Bates.
I'll give you a little more information. The safety net clinics are fairly qualified, are either in rural areas that follow into that, or in urban areas where they serve specific populations. There's a significant policy question that's going to come up as a result of what's just been come forward, and that is that these same populations are also treated by private physicians. They're also treated by hospitals. They normally get reimbursed at about 30% to 40% of the usual customary rates. The safety net clinics will now be reimbursed at full customary rates, which is a huge increase in income for them as far as Medicaid is concerned. To your specific question, the safety net clinics take all, they don't turn anybody down, and physicians can make a decision not to serve this population. And so this is only part of their funding stream. They get grants, they get volunteers, they get all kinds of programs going to put these safety net clinics together, because truly they are safety net clinics. They're the place of last resort for a lot of people. A lot of individuals that go there have multiple problems, emotional and mental problems, as well as physical problems. So the safety net clinics need to be maintained. What I'm concerned about, because we just heard about this the last few days, is we may see a shift in Medicaid patients into those centers as this becomes known and becomes more widespread. And there's good and bad to that. If Medicaid dollars become available on that basis, that's fine, but it'll take more match of our general fund dollars. So I'm not sure where this is going to go in the next biennium. We could see a significant shift to safety net clinics.
And the chair, Representative Bates is right. And, of course, the money that we put forward and reshoot and the additional amount are estimates. Our best guess at this time to see what happens. If there is a major shift, as Representative Bates potentially alludes to, you know, then we could very well have another issue throughout the biennium or next biennium.
Representative,
I would hope the committee would be willing to entertain maybe a budget note that we look at the distribution in the interim and maybe have the department feel free to come to the board and chat with us about how those dollars are distributed and how we deal with these issues.
You'd want it in this budget, no?
Yes. And in the OMAP budget, obviously.
Representative Carlson.
And Madam Chair, my issue is around communicable diseases. We had some discussion in public testimony, and I know the counties are, you know, pushing to get some additional funding. There's some cuts that are happening at the local level, and I have never been quite sure exactly what budget structure those dollars flow in now and whether there's actually been a reduction from last time or, you know, how those dollars move forward. I just called my office because Katie had given me some paperwork on that, and they're bringing that down. But I would like to have a little bit of a discussion about that to find out how the counties are doing in terms of public health. Marion County has told us that they'll actually be reducing positions in this budget.
We have package 090 adjustments.
Madam Chair, package 090 adjusts personal services and services supplies to reflect staff classification changes in the Office of Multicultural Health, and it also adjusts for the PERS rate reduction. The LSO recommendation is to approve the package as a reduction of $475 general fund and an increase in the limitation of $25,046 other fund and $12,430 federal funds.
So move. Package 090, cross-agency special program adjustments as recommended by LFO.
Representative Schrader moves package 090 adjustments. Is there any objections?
Approved. Package 178 reclassifies four positions in order to fit current agency responsibilities and correct funding source. LFO recommends approval of the package as a reduction of $192,759 other funds and an increase of $242,585 federal funds.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to move package 178, position corrections, reclassifications.
Representative Schrader moves package 178, position corrections and reclassifications. Mm-hmm. Is there any objection? Okay.
Package 3007, reductions out of state travel. LFO recommends approval of the package as reduced $129 other funds and $291 federal funds.
Representative Schrader moves package
Beat Senator Duncan on this
one? Yeah, I really need
to. Cut 3007, which reduces in outstate travel, and it totals $129 other funds and $291 federal funds. Is there any objection? Approved.
Finally, there's a proposed budget note on this memo that requires the health division to study the feasibility of moving their offices to Salem, and will report the results of that study to the 2003 Legislative Assembly.
Well, you talked to staff, and I don't know, but... That's fine.
I'd like to move the proposed budget note.
Representative Schrader moves the budget note that instructs the health division will study the feasibility of moving their current office to Salem and will report the results of that study to the 2003 Legislative Assembly during their Ways and Means budget presentation.
Madam Chairman,
a question. Senator Hartung.
Is the health division in Portland... over at the Lloyd Center building? Where is it located exactly?
Yeah, Portland office.
Portland State office building over there near the
Not paying for anymore. Doug.
It was nodding of the head for the record.
Members of the committee, they're basically in two locations. They're in the Portland State office building near the Lloyd Center, as well as the public health lab currently is at Portland State University. And that's an issue that we will have to deal with in the future. Around the public health lab, probably next biennium or next session, we are going to have to deal with that in terms of the public health lab. According to the budget note, we'll take a good look at the feasibility of studying or feasibility of moving the health division.
Another question. Doug, what goes on at Portland State University, the public health lab? What do they do and how many employees are there? And is it a part of PSU's curriculum in any way?
Madam Chair, Senator Hartung, said it right. It is the public health lab. They do testing for various newborn screening, rabies testing, all the things. It's not necessarily part of the curriculum at Portland State University. If you have more questions, I believe Mike Skills, who's the center director, is here. If you want any more questions answered specifically. Number of employees, he's right behind me, 73 employees.
Okay, and that's the public health lab. Yeah, question. How is that funded? I'm sure federal funds and
Chair Winters and Senator Hartung. For the record, I'm Mike Skeels. I'm the director of the Center for Public Health Laboratories in the Health Division, Department of Human Services. Our budget is about, our current biennial budget is about 17% state general fund. 38%, I believe, or 35% federal funds, and the rest is other funds. And we are not administratively part of Portland State University in any way. As Doug said, we're part of the Department of Human Services, and in 1977, both DEQ and the Health Division needed new laboratories, and the state had some space at the PSU campus, and so they remodeled a parking garage into two large laboratories, each of which is about 25,000 square feet. And we do have some cross-links. We do some teaching, and we have some of their students that work in our labs occasionally, but we are not administratively linked with them.
Madam Chairman, just as a comment, and of course I won't be here next session, but when the report comes back, I would like to see the public health lab seriously consider, for instance, moving up to OHSU and collaborating, as I see all of the interest and it's well-placed and money we spend on the sort of things that, you know, you develop or come through your lab. It seems to me we ought to be connected with, you know, our primary research university in that arena, and I would like to see that considered.
Yeah. That can be included in the feasibility study.
Yeah, the possibility of doing it. Yeah, that, if that would be included in the feasibility study, you know, if there are any potential benefits to what I've just stated about connecting with, and I'm sure Portland State in their growth position could give up the 25,000 square feet, make it good use classrooms or whatever. anyway, if that would be a part of the study, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Hartung, we'll take a look at that, and there's also the other state labs that there could be collaboration with, not only OHSU, but DEQ,
EP,
or Ogami, and others, so, and that will be, we can make that part of the study.
We couldn't do this today. What is going
to
do?
I'd like to move another budget note, Madam Chair.
Representative Shreve.
That we alluded to before. And that would be,
okay. So you, yes.
That would be that, in the interim, that the distribution of the safety net dollars would be worked on by OMAP, the Health Division, Oregon Primary Care Association, and FQHC and rural centers, and then just and report to the e-board maybe December 01.
Do you have all that, Rick?
No. Madam Chair?
Russell Gates.
In our discussions with this division, we talked to a great degree about the number of diffuse programs they have, and some of those programs might better be handled by, as an example, OMAP or the Oregon Health Plan for actual treatment of patients that comes through this. We talked about them refocusing some of the programs, getting and making sure that what they're doing evolves from public health. Systems. I'd like to ask you that we could put a budget note together to have them evaluate that for the next biennium, come back to us in 2 years, and see if what they're doing is where they want to be and should be. Mm-hmm. And I'd be welcome to help Mr. Olson get a budget note together for that, so we can make sure that we're doing things in an efficient fashion. We saw programs that I thought might be better handled through HP and take it off these people's hands, so what they work with, they could be better at.
Any other budget notes? Any objections to those budget notes? Conceptual budget notes. Here for
explain. Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is another bill that is out there, House Bill 3953.
That's the current one.
3953. It has to do with the use of the tobacco tax monies. At this time, LFO would recommend that the Health Division's budget be reduced by the $17,500,000 of tobacco tax monies that they currently have in their budget, pending the adoption of House Bill 3953, and I believe it's the intent of moving that money into that bill that would then direct the uses of that of those funds.
And we would bring that bill back. The bill calls for smoking cessation and prevention education programs, the establishment of a toll-free hotline for assistance with smoking cessation, and distribution to counties for smoking cessation and prevention education programs, and grants to programs as provided under the current statutes. But the money is, it would be targeted for youth and those kinds of reduction programs, as well as we had discussion here about the pregnancies and some of those other issues. What we're doing today is just to lifting it out until we can act on that bill.
And a bit, Madam Chair, a question. It had been my understanding that that had been the direction we were going in terms of that 17.5. My understanding was that was for smoking and tobacco cessation all along, and we're just trying to encourage. It still is the Health Division, still in the Health Division budget.
Yes.
Just making clear that that's what the money should be expended for. The tax, certainly some of the tax measures would indicate that that's where people want it to that money.
That's correct.
It's taking it out of this budget, and we'll put it into that bill, and it gives it more direction as to how it's spent.
Okay.
Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, can we hear the department's position or their comments on this move?
I'm sure they don't like it.
Madam Chair, and I've asked Mel to come up. I think we have some real concerns about it. In fact, I think the governor's office is probably going to want to discuss this with you around this bill, and probably in the very near future. We have what we feel right now is a balanced program, and 3953 is probably not necessarily what we would like to see. I can have Mr. Cohen sort of go through our concerns if you wish.
Well, I do intend, I did have some conversation this morning, and I do want to move this and have a discussion on 3953 with the governor's office before moving 3953. But since we have to get the budget, your current service levels, I want to lay this outside of that so I can have that discussion with the governor. Okay. Is there any objection?
I'm a no.
Okay. Any other? Approved.
With that, we're finished at least with the preliminary work session on the Health Vision budget. We do have a work session on House Bill 2256, and if you'll give me a minute, I'll distribute the materials for that.
An opening work session on House Bill 2256.
Well, this is a good time for me to take the establishment.
I agree.
It doesn't replace the entire
bill. I thought it replaced the entire bill. No. It doesn't. There's still a prohibition there.
Well, it's after 9-9.
It's here. I bet there's another minute.
No, that's blue and gold, because that does get that. That's cool, isn't it?
This is awful.
For restaurant inspections that are conducted by the Health Division. I handed out to you Dash A-10 amendments, along with a fiscal impact on those amendments, and also a comparison table
for the rest
of the amount of fees.
I'm going to let him carry it, since it's a fee bill from the restaurant. Representative Schrader. Okay. Let me get this in the session.
You were the smart one.
Actually.
Senators are ready. We'll House Bill 2256.
Continuing on, Dash 810 amendments that you have there actually reduces the amount that the Health Division requested in the bill. Understood that the amounts in the amendments will not generate enough revenue to continue the program as currently operated. There will have to be some reductions made. It was the intent, I believe, though, that these fees be raised more gradually than the large increase that was proposed in the original bill. So LFO is recommending that the subcommittee adopt the A-10 amendments and send the bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Chairman, I so move.
Thank you, Senator Hartung.
Can I...
More discussion? Yes, sir.
I want to ask a question, if I could, Mr. Chair. Mr. Olson, I understand you to say that that without the larger increases, the program will not be carried on at the level it's at now.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, that's my understanding from the department. So there will have to be some either reduction in the number of inspections that are conducted and a reduction in personnel associated with this program.
Do you know offhand how often a restaurant gets inspected now, or is it determined by how they're doing on their inspections? I mean, what's the program look like? What's the program change going to look like?
Mr. Chair, Tom Johnson is here from the department. I would be speculating, so I'll let him answer that, if that's all right with you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Tom Johnson, Assistant Administrator, Oregon Health Division. At present, statutorily, there are required 2 inspections per year per food service facility. This would not allow us to continue at that level.
Mr. Chair, a follow-up question?
Oh, yeah.
Is it, I'm not sure of this, but is it true that Oregon has one of the highest rates of hepatitis A, which is transmitted primarily by oral fecal contamination of food in restaurants and other areas?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, that's true.
We're cutting, and Mr. Chair, follow-up, we're going to cut our inspection programs back?
That's correct.
Are there other areas you have concern about as far as cutting these programs back besides the hepatitis A, salmonella, shigella, E. coli?
Mr. Chair, Representative Bates, yes, this is not a... We came forward with a proposed bill that would allow us to keep the current level of inspections, which we think is minimal and required for public health protection. We have concern about going below that.
Mr. Chair, I have to tell you, I can't vote for this particular Dash 10 amendment. I can't see cutting a program back with the kind of problems we faced in public safety as far as infections are concerned. I certainly don't want to be in a position a year or two from now that we have a major outbreak of E. coli or similar difficulty, and then we have to tell them, oh, by the way, we cut the program going into biennium. I can't really support this amendment. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Patrick.
I'm just wondering if there's a way that the Health Division can reorganize the way that they're prioritizing, so they're looking at high-risk areas. So they look at, instead of just, I mean, it's easy to say, well, we can't do as many, but I'm wondering how the management's working. I know in my area they're chasing down a little lady who's selling baked goods to doctor's offices because she's not cooking them in a commercial kitchen. And so they spent time chasing her down. So I'm wondering, you know, how well these resources are really being expended, and the how the management is working to administer these types of programs.
Mr. Chair,
various people in the in my office upstairs, and little old ladies giving baked goods, and so I'm just wondering where we're going.
Mr. Chair, Representative Partridge, I'm not sure what part of the state you're referring to. My guess is that it's a delegate county, which is not the state. We don't have those kinds of resources to chase down those kinds of operations. We've, I think, made a very conscientious effort to prioritize our staff. We cover 12 rural counties directly by the state. We, in fact, even with the resources that we have, don't get to many of the temporary food establishments that are set up at county fairs, days of celebration of this or that or whatnot around the state, which we believe to be areas of high risk for potential foodborne disease. Even with the staff that we have and the prioritization going to the highest priorities, we're not able to get to all of those facilities. So we would have to say that the resources that we have, we do prioritize, and even with the level of staff that we have, we don't get even to what we view as the highest areas of foodborne disease concern.
Madam Chair?
What amendment? I didn't know there was an amendment.
Question, Senator Duncan.
I have a question.
Senator Duncan?
What's the total dollar amount we're talking about here right now? I'm not talking about the fee increase. I'm talking about the cutbacks in the program.
The increases.
This increases the fees, Madam Chair, but they're cutting back.
From their proposal.
145.
Do you have the schedule? Did you have the schedule from the current?
Right, from the packet.
Okay. 275.
I'm sure. I guess the reason I asked the question is I'm not concerned about the fee deal. I'm concerned. We say we're cutting back on inspections, and I'm not going to be able to vote for that. I'm talking about how much money are we talking about to at least keep to maintain where we are. Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Tom, if you can help out here in terms of the policy stuff. My understanding between what we had originally proposed in the bill and what the amendment has is a reduction of roughly $120,000 in resources. Bill, I don't know how much is that where we are now.
I'm confused.
You should.
Okay. It touched the $120,000. So the difference between what we have proposed and what the amendment that's in front of you is about $120,000 of resources.
Yes, I'm not saying how to. What reorganization or what you do to get it done. I'm with Representative Bates. I'm not going to vote in any way to cut back on the number of inspections.
Madam Chairman?
Hartung.
I think we need to pursue what Representative Patridge indicated about the potential of, reorganizing the extensions. I can tell you, in the 40 years that I ran Hartung Meat Company, I was in the back door of a lot of restaurants, and some were very clean, and some never did get cleaned up, regardless of what kind of inspection. And so it seems to me you ought to have some discretion, allowing what we do in meatpacking business now, HACCP, kind of self-inspection, because obviously every USDA federal inspector can't look at every carcass that comes down. But isn't there some way that you can have some discretion and not inspect those restaurants that obviously are operating properly and do more inspection on the ones that never do get it right?
Chair Winters and Senator Hartung, yes, HACCP has been applied. We've adopted over the years a number of modifications to our basic inspection program to try to get at that. One of the things that we found to be of most effect is food handler training, which is also a program which we have introduced about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, to do the thing that you're talking about, is to have people understanding what's going on so that they then, when we're not there, can apply those principles on a day-to-day basis. We've also altered the inspection itself from one of going in and just simply checking off what items were there and complying and which weren't, to an interactive inspection where the inspector, when they go in, engages the operator in discussion about what's going on, what do you normally do, why do you do this, what are the risks associated with. And we have, I think, done a good job trying to do, as you suggest, interactive with the people, get them to understand what's going on and look at those critical control points, HACCP, that you're referring to. Even with that, we find that those places that you referred to that don't clean up under any circumstances really need to have inspections. We have done the best that we think that we can in terms of prioritizing the staff.
Comment, I'd like to ask LFO, because it was my understanding that the rates that were set by LFO were mid-range, that they're neither at the low end nor that are they at the high end, and that the restaurants that we're talking about are those restaurants that are pretty much in the rural communities. Is that not correct, that they're ones where you do not have a county that is doing the inspection? It's where the state is doing those, and they're pretty much rural in nature. So you don't have the same number that you would have if you're talking about within inside of, say, Portland or Multnomah County or Marion County, and that it was your, rather than giving them, you were trying to balance, as I understand, was your objective.
Madam Chair, the rates that are in the A-10 amendments are pretty close to halfway between the current rate and the proposed rate in the bill. And you are correct, these are for 12 Oregon counties. Those counties include Clatsop, Gilliam, Grant, Kearney, Lake, Laurel, Sherman, Umatilla, Union, Wallowa, Wasco, and Wiener Pines.
And I understand there's, I don't know how many FTEs are involved in the inspection. How many FTEs?
Madam Chair, about 4.25.
About 4.25, and you try to conduct at least 2 inspections a year. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
And I don't know how many restaurants you have in that or facility.
Just a little under 2,000.
Madam Chair?
Looking,
I actually, that's the first time I actually looked at the bill. Your old rates, as an example, for a small restaurant were $275. You suggested a rate increase to $395. LFO's recommendation is $335. Okay. I would have to admit that the 275 to 395 is a pretty big jump.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Representative Bates, actually we had some discussions with the Restaurant Association trying to do a phased-in amount, and we can certainly provide those that would allow us to keep the current inspections but allow a phased-in fee that would allow us to get by this biennium at the current level, but a phased-in amount.
I would recommend then that if you have some phase-ins, because I, you know, would concur with Representative Bates, the jump from 275 to 395 is a huge increase, particularly in the counties that you talked about. I mean, those are pretty much counties, if I look at the economics of them, would be somewhat hard-pressed. So if you have some additional information, I would recommend that you get that to us and that we will revisit then, perhaps this bill, Representative Carlson.
Well, Madam Chair, I just think it's interesting when I'm looking at Marion County, which is a delegate county, and their rates are lower across the board than even the mid-rates that are proposed by the Legislative Fiscal Office. I'm kind of curious how Marion County is able to pull that up. With their rates.
Well, I think the explanation that the agency would give is that they don't have the same kind of travel, that their factor is for travel. But even with the travel factor, it appeared to LFO and to me that it was more successful to jump
really
from 275 to 395.
Madam Chair, would be very happy to share that phase in with you that would allow us to keep the inspection rate where it is.
Representative Patrick.
I just wanted to point out, I think that there's an error in the amendments.
There is.
Because it needs to say on page 3 rather than on page 2.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to be amending some.
Right.
No, okay.
If it is to say
page 3 rather than page 2.
Yes.
If it is the desire of the committee, we will revisit this, and you can get the phase-in information to Rick, and he can share it with us.
I withdraw my motion.
I didn't know you do it.
Yes,
Representative Hartsack withdraws his motion, and with that, we are adjourned.